Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the FanGuest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. You can see his pretty face right there on YouTube. Search Fan Milwaukee on YouTube for all of our live streaming, shorts, videos, all that fun stuff. He has Cody Alexander at MatchQuarters.com and host of Let's Talk Ball. Follow him on Twitter at @_coach_A. Cody, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, so you had put out some video earlier today about the Packers defense, and really, I feel like that is more of a story with this Packers team right now in their 2-0 start, more than it is the Packers offense being the story. So I kind of wanted to focus there. Obviously, you watched this Packers team last year and the last couple of years and what this defense has looked like under Mike Pettine, now to Jeff Hafley last year in his first year, and how it kind of changed throughout the year. But talk about the difference that you see now in what Jeff Hafley is able to do with Micah Parsons versus maybe what he wasn't able to do last year.
Yeah, this is it. Really, if you look at coverage-wise, they're not doing anything different except for one area, and that's they're running a lot more split field coverages. So this is not Tampa 2 because they're not dropping a guy, running him through the middle of the field or playing cover 2 on both sides. They're playing a lot more quarters with cover 2 on the other side, which is really allowing them to kind of layer their coverages a lot more and play a little stickier when they want to and not necessarily play man. Because if you look at the breakdown from what they've done in the first 2 weeks, that's the biggest thing. It's basically doubled. It went from about 11% from what they were trying to do last year to now 20% within these first two games. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's able to rush with four when he wasn't necessarily able to do that last year.
The other part about this, too, is you've seen guys like Lucas Van Ness all of a sudden break out. Van Ness is a guy that, I don't know, I had zero faith in coming into this year, if we're being honest, none whatsoever. But he's had some impact plays the first 2 weeks. Rashawn Gary gets home this last game as well. Devontae Wyatt, Colby Wooden. Other guys are having impacts. How much of that in your mind correlates directly to Micah Parsons versus them all of a sudden becoming that much better?
I think it's twofold. One, obviously, Micah Parsons is going to set the protection. You can move him around. You can use him as a leveraging tool to get one-on-ones for these other guys. I think it's also the use of McDuffie in their 4-3, their base 4-3. They're letting him walk down on the line, creating these five-man fronts. So if you've ever watched a 3-4, it looks almost identical. The problem is you don't have a 3-4 on the field. You have a 4-3. And so what they're doing is by putting those five guys on the line, you're creating one-on-ones. That's why like a guy like Vanessa, who was trying to play a wide nine and hit home from out wide, can now go on top of a guard or can now really hit that inside shoulder of a tackle. And so it changes the way that your rush patterns are, and it's allowing a lot of these guys to get one-on-ones. And the nice thing is it's hitting home. They're actually winning these one-on-one matchups.
You know, the other thing about this, too, talking with Cody Alexander, MatchQuarters.com, and host of Let's Talk Ball, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer with you. When we talk about the linebacking core and what this means for them, there's been reports here in the last couple of days that they're getting ready to give an extension to Quay Walker, possibly the inside linebacker for the Packers, who up until last year, prior to getting hurt, where he had a couple of really impactful weeks, really hasn't been the guy that I think everybody thought he was going to be. But it's like Jeff Hafley kind of unlocked something and figured out how to use him to the best of his abilities. How has Walker looked on tape to you?
Yeah, I think that's the thing with these Georgia linebackers is that they're really good at blitzing. And so they're really good in the box. And I think when you have what's really unlocked him is not only this scheme, but having a guy next to him like Edgerrin Cooper that can move around and can kind of be that joker type of linebacker and just let Walker be in the A gap. He doesn't have to worry about a lot of other things. And a lot of times with these players, when you don't have kind of that teammate next to him at linebacker, they have to kind of do everything. You end up getting in situations where you're putting him in situations where he may not be good. That's why you talked about it. There's games he looks really good. And then there's games where you're like, man, I don't remember him making a play. But I think with the way that they have the linebacker structured now, it is exactly what Halfley wants. He's got a guy in McDuffie who can go down and play the tight end when they want to get big. They've got a guy like, you know, the rookie from last year.
Adrian Cooper is an absolute stud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they can. And the nice thing with Cooper is it gives them also another guy opposite Micah Parsons that you can walk down and blitz the edge. So I think with that, it simplifies what Walker wants to do, and it allows him to just be the best.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Player that he can possibly be.
The other thing too is Brian Gutekunst. He's the one that put this whole thing together. He's the one that gave up a couple of ones and Kenny Clark, obviously, to get Micah Parsons and got that deal done. But he's also the one that built this defense. And right now, again, watching the rest of the NFL, I didn't watch every single game this weekend, but I watched a bunch of different games. I feel like as far as watching on TV, the Packers defense may be, if not the fastest, one of the fastest defense sideline to sideline right now in the league.
Yeah, and this team just in general is young. And so when you're young, what do you tend to be? You tend to be really fast. And I think that we're really seeing this. It's not that this isn't gimmicky, right? Like, this isn't like we're playing a bunch of sub packages and we got a bunch of DBs and we're just chasing everybody down. But what happens when we get hit in the mouth? No, they're running base 4-3. They're getting up. They're meeting you physically up front. And then, oh, by the way, everybody on this field is extremely, extremely fast. And we have these leverage points at every single spot. We have Micah Parsons. We have Cooper. We have McKinney that can all be these kind of leverages at each spot. When you have that, and then your corners are playing as well as they're playing, that usually tends to be one of the better defenses in the league.
The other thing is the cornerback situation. Keyshawn Nixon at the end of last year, you know, had been the Packers special teams guy for a couple of years, said, I want to be CB1. This last week, 5 pass breakups. Now, this is without Jaire Alexander. So now you're talking about him, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine being those front 3 guys, plus Javon Bullard, who they drafted as a safety and kind of played as the nickelback last year and are continuing to do this year, is what makes up those corners. What do you make of the cornerback situation for this Packers team? Do they have a true number one in your mind?
I think you have to start looking at Nixon as somebody that has transitioned into being a number one corner, at least for the Packers. I think he fits exactly what they're doing. When you watch him, he feels comfortable outside. I think, too, what you're also seeing is now you have these corners because you're playing so much cover two and you're playing some of these. A lot of these teams are trying to get real condensed. They're trying to run a lot of 12 personnel. Wide zone is still really popular. Who do you not block in wide zone? You don't block the corner. Well, a cheat code is now having a corner who's not afraid to tackle. And so what you've done now with the Packers is you have these hybrid guys that you can move them around. The one piece that I would not move around is Bullard. And I think he kind of got exposed a little bit last year playing deep, but I think Evan Williams is a perfect complement to Xavier McKinney. And so when you look at this, you could see it last year in the draft, what they were trying to get to. They want to have a bunch of hybrid players. They needed to figure out where everybody could play. You get a bunch of safeties. You get a bunch of linebackers. Now they have that. And then they amplified. I mean, it makes total sense to me of why they went and got Micah Parsons, because it was the one piece that was missing in this defense was the pass rush. Now they have it. And now they have it, what looks to be one of the better defenses in the NFL.
So this defense looks good right now, Cody Alexander. How do you think this defense continues to evolve throughout the year by the time we get to the regular season? What are some things or a thing or two where they're not doing it right now, but they have the pieces to where at some point they could pull this out of their bag and add this to the repertoire?
Well, I want to see a little bit more creativity in the back end. Halfley loves inverted two, which is good right now. But against some teams that don't mind passing outside of the numbers, you're going to run into some situations,
Cody,
where
I'm going to cut you off. For those listening that don't know what the hell inverted two is, please explain.
Yes. So what they're taking is instead of the safeties playing deep halves, you're taking the corners and running them. So what you're essentially doing visually is you are putting a vice on the field and you're packing the middle of the field with numbers. And they've been able to do that early just because of the way that teams have been wanting to do this. I thought they got away with it against the Commanders. They were really good against the deep ball against that. So just a little bit more creativity, I think, on third downs, especially like in different coverage rotations. They're showing things already. They have the talent. This is year two. So if it's something that I like, what could we see further on? I think you're going to see Micah Parsons as he gets comfortable. They're going to start moving him around. They're going to put him over the center. They're going to put him inside. They may line him up off the ball, much like he did with the Cowboys. But how I think they Halfley will have a better plan. And then number two, just have a little bit more disguises, especially on third down, to really mess with these quarterbacks.
He's so good. Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com, host of Let's Talk Ball. Follow him on Twitter at @_coach_A on Twitter. Tell everybody about matchquarters.com and what they can find there.
Yeah, Match Quarters is a defensive think tank. All I do is watch football and I watch defense, and it's the only place that's like it anywhere else. So if you love defense, Match Quarters is a place for you.
Here he is. Cody, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it, man. You have a good rest of the day.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.